It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number two, the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle, coming back to you once again from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Talking Penn State guys at the NFL Combine and a couple of the other things that came up out there. And Greg, I just want to get your general sense on what the Combine is, what it means, and whether it's an overrated sporting event. So you start with me right there. I'm curious. Like, this was the conversation when I walked in, as I typically did, 8 minutes late. And you guys were talking about it, because what else are you going to do except for wait for, you know, the talent that runs this thing
to show up? Correct.
To show up. You got to deal with my temperamental side is what it comes down to. So
that's okay.
The NFL Combine and its use as a good tool for NFL teams.
Yeah. I look at it like this. I was just reading that NBC Sports report from the weekend that Penn State hired a search firm to help with its finalizing of James Franklin's contract, which was interesting. So we didn't get into that at the end of the last segment, but I do find that to be a little bit confusing.
A third party to get to the finish line
with a guy you already have, right? Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to revisit that later. But anyway, that's not really what you were asking about. You were asking about the NFL Combine.
Wouldn't be the first time I asked something and you were reading something else and you didn't know what I asked.
Usually I don't have any clue what you actually asked. So this time I knew. I was just so taken aback by what I read.
Here's the Greg Pickle playbook then. When you're usually at a state of about three quarters paying attention because
right.
You're a machine that has to process all kinds of other protocols and stuff. So you just say, by default, you just say something that's affirming what I'm saying.
Right.
That's exactly right. And that buys you enough time to get your thoughts together. And but I appreciate you agreeing with me regardless.
Yeah. So this whole thing with Franklin and his contract came about because a reporter in East Lansing was looking into emails that the athletic director there sent during the Mark D'Antonio search, to find his replacement. And one of them was from Sandy Barber, who recommended the search firm that they used for, and this is a direct quote from Sandy Barber's email, "Most recently served as our negotiator for Coach Franklin's latest extension." So, what is her job then? I mean, isn't she supposed to be the lead negotiator on that kind of thing?
We'll
have to figure that out some other time. But
I mean, let's just get this the whole way off the rails. So
sure.
If you're an NFL general manager, for example, most of those guys have some kind of background in law, right?
Right.
I mean, some kind of base anyway. I'm not saying that they're attorneys, but contracts fall under there. But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like they would be that uncommon for an athletic director and their skill set to not have a law background to negotiate this stuff.
Could I kick in my two cents?
I mean, you're going to, so.
Yeah, that's right. You thought you were in charge. No.
Yeah.
Let's make it clear. I think sometimes when you have negotiations like this, it's a point of conflict between the two. Obviously, James Franklin has a representative on his side saying, we want more, more, more.
Right.
So instead of having someone internally, like a Sandy Barber, having to say, well, coach, yeah, but. And
right.
Throw out negative comments, you have a third party do
it's
that
like, it's
for
like the
you.
Arbitration process in baseball.
That's exactly,
of, yeah.
I think, the analogy
so this
here.
This doesn't seem – it's maybe we don't hear about it very often, but it seems like it might be a pretty common tactic.
I'd be more – I think I'm more bothered by the fact that you'd be okay saying, yeah, this is the wonderful negotiator we used for someone that is a division rival of yours. I'm not sure about that.
While they were around, I had them balance my budget too.
Right, yeah. Oh well. At any rate, let's get we'll get back on track.
The NFL Combine.
The NFL Combine.
How valuable
is it? It's funny because every year guys head out there, and Penn State guys typically test so well that we don't tend to have an example of some guy testing so poorly that he ruins his draft stock. But the flip side of that, of course, is when you look at what Penn State's guys did out there. So John Reed was kind of the buzz of the combine, and he tested really well, and Deion Sanders was praising him and all that, and that's great. But there's also quite a bit of concerning tape out there, especially post-injury for him, that I imagine NFL teams are going to try and obviously have to balance, you know, what what they take away from the combine versus what they saw on film, which sometimes was good and sometimes was not. I still think someone's going to fall in love with John Reed. He's an incredibly intelligent guy who's very good at seeing things and reacting to them and studying film and all that. So I think someone's going to give him a shot for sure. And his what he did in Indianapolis only helped matters. But I mean, for example, you know, Ettore Grossmano skips out on the 40-yard dash. I mean, and it's just like, okay, yeah. So why does it matter what his 40-yard dash time is? It doesn't. As long as he can run in short bursts pretty quick, that's what teams are looking for. You know, KJ Hammer, I guess, will run in State College, but he didn't run in Indianapolis. I guess he did some other things. But yeah, I don't know. I tend to find myself putting less and less stock into it each year. Just because, again, you know, we see these mock drafts and then these guys go to the combine, and whether they are great or average or somewhere in between, it doesn't seem like the stock changes all that much.
And I don't think it does. I think that portion of it, how this stuff is interpreted, is made for TV. But right. I think for the NFL teams, you look at what the value is, the medical evaluation, the interview portion of it,
right.
Guys, you get a chance to talk to and really get a chance to know them. And then the other part of it, as we hear James Franklin say often when he's trying to evaluate, you know, prospects, is that in-person workouts are highly, highly preferred, and can tell them things, and they can use their own timing devices and that kind of stuff. So I think that some of those workouts, and what it ultimately does is, I think sometimes it drastically changes a guy's stock. But I think most of the time it just is another layer that either amplifies or raises some red flags about the film. The film drives everything. But I think when you can look at John Reed and put a number on how he runs,
right,
that changes how you watch his film. So I don't know what the process is for these teams, but it wouldn't be all that surprising to say that they go through the combine process, then they go back, and the guys that stand out to them, they rewatch their film with those numbers in mind. So for John Reed, for example, to get into the Penn State portion of it, running a 4.50, was that his top time? That was his first time. Did he break 4.5? I don't think he did.
Keep going. I'll let you know. 4.49.
So he and that 1/100th of a second, you know, where it starts with a 4.4 instead of a 4.5, right, is another significant thing. Just, it sounds stupid, but so I think for John Reed, he showed some good things on film. He showed some suspect things, but I think there's enough good stuff on film that now you can look and be like, okay, that's NFL speed.
Yeah.
He's got NFL speed.
Sure.
You know, he looks quick enough on film, but now I know he's got NFL speed. That when you're talking about him being praised by Deion Sanders, that straight line drill where you get into a back pedal, you switch your hips, you get back and you switch your hips in both directions, then you come and catch a ball.
Right.
John Reed, he did look smooth doing that. I don't know what that's worth either, but that's something that NFL guys were there with their own eyes. They could see that.
Right.
And to some, I think there's going to be one or two teams that a couple of these items are going to be like, okay, well, let's take a closer look at John Reed. We didn't look at his film before. You're not looking at a first round pick for John Reed, but I think he's in the conversation, I think, as maybe like a late round pick.
So I thought going into the weekend, and I have said as much and wrote as much, that he was in that undrafted free agent territory, yeah, where, you know, every year we've heard it with a couple of Penn State guys and some other players, obviously, that didn't go to Penn State. But, you know, you hear this thing where near the end of the draft, teams start calling their top undrafted free agent targets. And they're like, look, we might take you with our last pick, but if such and such a position is left open, we're going to go that way. But that said, we want to sign you, you know, right away. And so Reed was probably in that conversation initially. And now I think he's probably helped himself to the point where it's more likely than not that he is one of those seventh round picks or sixth round picks, as yeah, opposed to that first guy called once the draft is over. So, you know, and that's the thing that they talk, you know, you talk about with the combine. You don't have to set the internet on fire, and you don't have to run the greatest time or do the best test you've ever done in your life. You just got to do enough to get people interested in you. And I think John Reed did just that. I think Robert Windsor did just, yeah, that. You know, didn't hear quite as much buzz about Cam Brown. And I think we knew what Ettore Grossmano and KJ Hamler were entering this event. They were in that stratosphere of guys who, you know, did you really feel like you needed to, were you really concerned about what their testing numbers were going to be? No, not really. So, you know, I think that would you know, mean that those two guys are in good shape still for sure.
You know, I think for Yetur Gross-Matos, it was just showing up and showing the length of his arms.
Yeah.
And I think when you can put numbers on that and say, instead of scouts saying, oh, he's got long arms, when you can say whatever his wingspan is,
right,
which is huge, and that's something that amplifies his skill set. KJ Hamler, I feel like the 40 would have amplified his skill set too.
Yeah.
But I think there's a little bit of a movement here for guys to skip particular workouts if they're not 100%. You know, you can be defined right by your 40-yard dash there. So if he's running at 90%, or he didn't have a chance to prep for that portion of it like he wanted to, and he runs a 4.37, fast for a lot of guys, but
right,
that hurts him, then I get it. But there are certain things and certain drills and certain pieces of information that can help more guys, some guys, and more so than others. Rob Windsor running a 4.9 in the 40, it's a pretty strong time for a
sure
guy that
is.
Size. And again, you turn on the film for him, you see motor, you see power and quickness.
Yeah.
You know, at his best, you see power and quickness. And I think running a 4.9 feeds into what his strengths are. You know, now you can look at it and be like, okay, this guy can move.
Right.
You know, he's got a motor. He can be a guy who's disruptive and kind of hold the point of attack. So I thought he helped himself out. Cam Brown, you know, did you ever really consider Cam Brown as one of those, you know, like a quick twitch kind of athlete? Like, he's
right,
a good athlete.
Right.
But you saw across the board, you know, 4.7, 240, 35-inch vertical, pretty good broad jump, pretty good bench. No number stands out, but I wasn't really expecting him to
sure,
really put a big number up in any of those categories. He's
right,
he's a good athlete and a good player, and I think he's gonna get an opportunity probably as an undrafted guy, but he has never been viewed, I think, by most as an elite athlete.
No, I agree with that. I mean, he did have some good testing numbers back in the day, but he was just – he always just felt like a tweener, and I think he had a really nice career at Penn State. Doesn't change the fact that when we start talking about the NFL, you still just get that tweener vibe, and it can be very difficult to overcome that. So, yeah, we'll see where things shake out for him, but all said, you know, a good weekend for these Penn State guys at the combine. I mean, let's be honest, if you kind of have to either have something go way wrong or not train well to have a bad time at the combine. Like, you might not be good. Like, for Cam Brown, I don't know anyone saying, oh, he had a horrible weekend in Indianapolis, but he's not really getting the buzz either, whereas some guys are. So another good weekend for them. It kind of just is what it is to me at this point.
I think next year might be the year where maybe the year after, where you get some of those eye-popping numbers back
yeah,
from Penn State, if they work out anyway. We're going to take a quick break for now. Jeff Brown going to join us to talk some Penn State hoops in just a moment.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Ross Tucker from the Keystone Sports Network reminding you that the blue-white game is coming soon, and GoPSURV.com has you covered with their best deals ever. Spend the weekend in a luxury RV, enjoy 409 Tailgate Club barbecue, and a free bus ride to the stadium. I had the chance to enjoy the ultimate tailgating experience, and now you can too. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark 1-800-519-8467 for all the details.